Come, follow me. According to Mark's Gospel, then those are the first words that Jesus spoke to Peter. Peter was a fisherman, probably in his early 20s, going about his work just off the shore of Lake Galilee. Jesus, a new rabbi on the block that Peter must have heard about, walks past and invites Peter to follow him. And Peter does. Immediately he leaves his boat, his livelihood, his wife, his family, and he follows this new teacher. For the next 3 years, he would follow Jesus as one of his dearest companions. He lives with him as his disciple, eats with him, stays closer to him than anyone. He sees amazing miracles, people healed, even people raised from the dead. He's there when Jesus calms a storm, ordering the winds and waves to obey him when it looked as if they were all about to drown. Peter even walks on water to Jesus. And he's one of the three who experience the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, appearing alongside Moses and Elijah. Peter follows Jesus to Jerusalem and watches as he's arrested, put on trial and killed, hung on a cross between two criminals. 2 days later, Peter is the first person who enters the tomb where the body of Jesus has been laid. But of course, Jesus isn't there, is he? Jesus has risen. And then, after the resurrection, we find Peter back fishing again on Lake Galilee. Jesus turns up and they share a meal together for one last time. And then, as we just read from John chapter 21, we read the final words that Jesus says to Peter, which are exactly the same words as his first ones. Come, follow me. It's been quite a journey for Peter these last few years. But in many ways, you know, his journey is only just about to begin. Jesus is about to ascend to his Father, and Peter must learn a whole new way of what it means to follow Jesus. So this morning I want us to explore a bit more about this man, Peter, and see what we can learn about him, but perhaps more importantly, see if we can learn anything about ourselves. You know, Peter is mentioned more than any other disciple of Jesus. 109 times he's mentioned in the Gospels and 90 times in the rest of the New Testament. We first encounter Peter as a young, uneducated fisherman from Galilee. The Gospels tell us that he was married, and Jesus would live for much of his ministry at the home of Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum, a woman that Jesus healed of a life-threatening fever. His brother was another disciple called Andrew. Now, Peter was undoubtedly one of the first followers of Jesus. According to Luke, Jesus meets Peter, who was called Simon at that time, by the way, and he asks if he can sit in his boat to teach the gathering crowd of people. And once Jesus has finished teaching, Jesus suggests to Peter that they row out a little further and drop their nets again to fish. They carry out Jesus' instructions and they end up catching a bumper crop of fish. Peter immediately asks Jesus to leave him, for he recognizes something of the divine in this man and says that he himself is too sinful, too unqualified to follow Jesus. But Jesus responds by telling Peter not to be afraid. He will now embark on a new mission, fishing for people. Now, John tells us that it's Andrew who introduces his brother Simon to Jesus, and it's at that time that Jesus changes his name to Peter, meaning rock. Peter would grow to be one of Jesus' closest friends. He, together with James and John, are the three who are always there with Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus tells the women who he first meets to go and tell the good news to the other disciples, but especially, Jesus says, to Peter. And Peter would go on to be the founder of the Christian church, confirming Jesus' prediction that the church would be built on him. It was he who gave that first sermon that's recorded for us in Acts 2 at the Feast of Pentecost. And he would be pivotal in spreading the good news of Jesus. Peter would probably go on to die a martyr's death in Rome. So that's the history, but what do we know of Peter's character? Well, Peter was undoubtedly considered to be the leader of the disciples. He's always the first person mentioned in any list that we have in the Bible of the apostles where they're named. Peter is the spokesperson. It's always Peter doing the talking, isn't it? It's Peter who always suggests that they go fishing or asks Jesus to explain a parable. It was Peter who said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." It was Peter who noticed that the fig tree that Jesus had cursed had died. And Peter who, when Jesus is surrounded by a huge crowd and asks, "Who touched me?" says, "Jesus, there's a whole bunch of people here touching you." But Peter often engaged mouth before brain. Peter is impetuous. He acts first, thinks second. It was Peter who got out of the boat to walk on the water to Jesus, but then is immediately afraid of the waves and starts to drown. It was Peter who, at the end of the Gospels, dived off the boat when he saw Jesus on the shore, leaving the other disciples to drag in their huge catch of fish. It was Peter who, when Jesus is transfigured on the mountain, wants to build three altars, one for Jesus, but also one for Moses and one for Elijah. It was Peter who declared to Jesus, "Even if everyone else fails you, I will never fail you." Those words must have come back to haunt him later. At the Last Supper, it was Peter who told Jesus that he would never let him wash his feet. But then when Jesus remonstrated, said, "Well, in that case, wash not just my feet, but my whole body." Peter was the first one to declare that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that led to Jesus reiterating that it was on Peter, the rock, that God would build his church. But you know, in the very next breath, it was Peter who then scolded Jesus, telling him that he could never complete his mission if it meant that he had to die. Peter still hadn't grasped what Jesus was really about at all. And you know, Peter not only says the wrong thing, he does some pretty stupid things too. It was Peter who drew his sword and sliced off the servant's ear when Jesus is arrested. In the early days of the church, Peter has a vision and goes to the home of a Roman officer, welcoming Gentiles into the new church. But you know, later on, Peter would buckle to Jewish peer pressure, and he would go back on his word, resulting in a fallout with the Apostle Paul. And then, of course, famously, it was Peter who, having sworn undying loyalty to Jesus, would go on to deny three times that he ever knew him. He would even curse him as Jesus is being interrogated in the next building. Peter wasn't there by the cross when Jesus died. He was probably one of those who Luke describes as standing afar. Peter is scared, nowhere to be seen. Peter will only follow so far. And yet, Peter perseveres despite his mistakes. After the resurrection, we read, didn't we, when Jesus meets Peter one last time on a beach. Three times he asks Peter if he loves him, and three times Peter says that he does. It's then that Jesus says, "Well, if you really love me, Peter, then feed my sheep." And once more asks Peter to follow him. And Peter would follow. He would go on to be instrumental to the founding of the church. Many times he would be arrested, beaten and tortured. He became a close friend of Mark, who wrote his first gospel based on Peter's account of his time with Jesus. And we also have two letters in the New Testament that Peter wrote, which say some amazing things. So that's Peter. But what can we learn from him? And what difference does any of that make to us now, 2,000 years later? Well, I don't know about you, but when I look at the person of Peter, I am filled with hope. Because actually, I see an awful lot of myself in Peter. Peter is impetuous. As we have seen, on many occasions, Peter engages mouth before brain. In his willingness to contribute, Peter so often puts his foot in it, doesn't he? He doesn't think things through. His eagerness isn't matched by his wisdom. We might admire Peter's enthusiasm, but definitely not his measured and patient approach. Peter, who acts first, thinks second. He's hardly a guy that you would make chief executive of any business. He's definitely not a safe pair of hands. And yet, Jesus says of this Peter, "You are a rock, and on you will I build my church." Peter, who gets it wrong so often, who messes up time after time. He makes the amazing declaration about Jesus being the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But then in the very next chapter, wants to give equal worship to Moses and Elijah. God has to speak out on the mountain and say, "No, Peter, it's Jesus who is my Son. Listen to him." And even though Peter has heard all of Jesus' sermons about loving others and turning the other cheek, it's Peter who uses physical violence and fights with the sword when Jesus is arrested. "But on this rock will I build my church." Peter the coward. Peter the scared one. Peter who lets Jesus down. Peter the disappointment. Peter the failure. Despite allegedly being his closest friend at the very time when Jesus needed him the most, Peter denies 3 times he even knows Jesus. He runs away. He's nowhere to be seen when Jesus is crucified. And yet, Jesus says, "On this rock will I build my church." So what about you, I wonder? Maybe you too can see something of yourself in Peter. Okay, perhaps you have a different character to him. But I wonder if there are times when perhaps you look at yourself as we've looked at Peter and wonder why on earth God bothers with you. Maybe you've found it difficult to follow too. Because I guess you also might make mistakes. You too get it wrong. You too end up failing time after time. You too are often scared and fearful and don't stand up for what you should. Sometimes maybe you've denied Jesus, or at the very least, you've kept quiet when you should have spoken. And perhaps you too have messed up. Maybe you've doubted. Maybe you've not had the faith to believe when you've seen the size of the waves surrounding you. Yes, maybe you can relate to Peter. And you know, if you can, that should give you hope too. Because here's the thing. You might not consider yourself a great follower of Jesus, but God was never looking for superheroes or perfect disciples. And you know, God isn't looking for them now either. He knows us. He knows what we're like, and he loves us anyway. You know, perhaps it's time for us to stop making the excuse of our own unworthiness. Maybe we need to stop worrying about our failures in following Jesus. You see, it's not about who we are. It never, ever was. This call to follow was only ever about who God is, and about God's love, God's grace, God's power. I wonder if you've ever been for a job interview and not got the job. Have you ever been left thinking that you're not good enough or qualified enough? Have you ever thought that if they were to interview you for being a follower of Jesus, as someone who would build God's church, then you'd never get in? They'd find someone much better. Here's the thing, you see, we're never called to attend an interview to see if we make the grade with God. We never have to do an annual appraisal to be part of God's church. There is no entrance exam, no performance review in being a disciple. Whoever we are, God calls us to follow, and he wants to use us to build his church. Because, you know, his church is full of losers just like you and me. And the world that we're called to fish in is full of people just like us too. You know, the hope that we can get from a man like Peter is that the only one who needs the qualifications is Jesus, not us. The only thing that God asks of us is that despite who we are or what we're like, we'll follow. Now that doesn't mean we have to keep up or attain or get anywhere or make some place. We may well follow at a distance. Maybe we'll lag a long way behind, but we keep on looking to follow the one who goes ahead of us, who journeys with us, who always waits for us. Because God always chooses ordinary people just like us to follow him and to build his church. He always did. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Jeremiah and Timothy, well, they were too young. Rahab was a prostitute. Moses was a murderer on the run. Samson, well, he was just horrible. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Jonah ran away from God. Paul persecuted Christians and wanted to kill them. The other disciples of Jesus were uneducated or tax collectors or of dubious social and moral repute. But God called them all to follow. And God used them to build God's kingdom, his church. And God has called you too and asks that you follow him. He asks because of who you are, not despite of who you are. And he wants to use even you, even me, to build his church. Now, I have to say that whenever I look at myself, I wonder, what on earth, Tim, are you doing stood up the front there with that dog collar on? Because, you know, if you knew me, if you were God, you'd never have taken a chance on me. I would never take a chance on me. But God did. And God has called you too. And God asked that you follow him. In his later life, Peter would write in his first letter, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." Isn't that incredible? Can you believe that? Just let that sink in for a moment. You really are chosen. You really are a priest. You really are holy. You really are special to God. In the second chapter of the first letter that Peter wrote, Peter says that it's not just him who is a rock. You are all living stones. Now, he says, all rocks being built into a spiritual house. And we are. Crazy as it seems, God has made you and me rocks to be used in building his church. Because we're ordinary people who feel we can't make it and we're not worth it. God calls us and uses us to reach out to other ordinary, everyday people who also feel that they can't make it and they're not worth it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter looks back at his life. I'm sure he remembers all his mistakes. He knows he got it wrong more than he got it right. He considers who he is and he concludes with these words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." So may you be encouraged today. Peter gives us hope. God gives us hope. And that hope is good news for all of us. So let's forget about who we are and just keep following. Amen.